Here's Pastor Brian as he begins this week's study.
Welcome to the program today. All this week we'll be studying Matthew chapter 24, verses 43 through 51, and focusing on the need to be ready for the Lord's return. This will be our last week in Matthew chapter 24 as we've been doing an in-depth study of each verse of this wonderful chapter, which focuses on the last day's events. These final verses read as follows. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made rule over his household to give them goods in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly I say to you that he will make him rule over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Our studies this week will take a little bit of a different emphasis, more of a preaching or exhortation, in contrast to an in-depth study. And the reason for this, I do believe there is a need for exhortation in this generation, due to the fact that the enemy of our souls wants to lull us to sleep and knock us off our steadfastness. And this portion of the scripture brings the application to every generation that we need to be awake, watching, alert, and being about our Father's business in the generation in which we live in. Our study today will be an overview of Matthew 24, verses 43 through 51, and will include a warning in light of the status we find ourselves in today. We'll discuss the following three points. Number one, the context of Matthew 24, verses 43 through 51. Secondly, an outline for this section. And then third, an exhortation. That exhortation, don't be lulled to sleep. Let's look at the first point, the context of verses 43 through 51. The Lord has just listed all the signs and the events which will center around his return. He now turns and begins to make application of his study. And in our verses that we'll study, we'll find exhortations like watch and be ready, which are all words challenging us to apply the teaching of Jesus Christ to our daily life. These are based on the fact that the Lord could come back at any time. No one knows that day or hour. No one's able to predict it. So we need to be ready this moment. That's what this study of Matthew 24 comes down to practically. Are you ready today? And then chapter 25 also goes on to make that same point. In the first 13 verses of chapter 25, we see the parable of the virgins. And it ends by saying, watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. And then in verses 14 through 30, he discusses the parable of the talents. And verses 29 and 30 read this way. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he'll have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the rest of chapter 25 in verses 31 through 46 tells us about the judgment upon the nations as the Lord will separate the sheep from the goats. And listen to how this study comes to a close in verse 46. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So as we come to the end of chapter 24, it's time to make application. That's the context. The Lord tells us about the signs that will take place, but he also tells us that no one knows the day nor the hour, so we need to be ready right now. Our second point relates to the outline of verses 43 through 51, and it's a very simple one. First of all, in verses 42 through 44, we see the exhortation to be ready. Verses 45 through 47, we see what we should be doing. And then verses 48 through 51, what not to do. Let's move on to our third point for today, and this is our practical exhortation, don't be lulled to sleep. And the reason I say this is there's so much teaching on the end times that you can come to that point where you're overwhelmed with it and then begin to not let it have the impact that the Lord's desiring it to, is to sharpen our walk with him. I remember back in 1988, someone wrote a book, 88 Reasons Why the Lord Was Coming Back in 1988. Well, he sold his books, he sold his tapes, the Lord didn't return. And unfortunately, a book like that could probably be written every year, 2,000 Reasons Why the Lord's Coming Back in 2000, 2001, and it goes on and on and on. And that begins to dull the expectancy of many believers because there's all these predictions that are going out that we lose the edge of being ready today. I remember another event where a TV evangelist predicted that in a certain year the world would end and the Lord would come back in that September. Strangely enough, the man died that last day of September. Now, the newsman who wasn't a believer reported this story and mocked him by saying, well, he was right, the world did come to an end for him, but not for the rest of the worlds. Also, even this week, I was listening to a conservative Christian radio station where they had a man that was teaching on the end times, and he just held some really bizarre views on the last days. He said that we are actually in the tribulation period for at least 50 years now. He said the two witnesses are Billy Graham and Pope John Paul, and the emphasis there was bringing the church together into unity. The false prophet is the media or entertainment industry. Then Babylon, he said, is the economic system, which he predicted would collapse within the next 25 years. So in the next 25 years, we'd see the Lord return. So once again, we have these false teachings and wrong ideas, and you can come to the conclusion, well, no one really knows, so it really doesn't matter, so I have all this time, or maybe it'll be in 1,000 years, and we really don't take heed to what Jesus said to be ready now, because we do not know the hour in which the Lord is coming. At this point, I'd like to read to you some of the false prophecies from the Jehovah's Witness Church, from their Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, dating back all the way to 1899 up to 1968, the number of times they predicted the coming of the Lord, and were obviously wrong. Dating back to 1899 and reading from The Time Is at Hand, page 101 in their 1908 edition, it reads, "The battle of the great day of God Almighty, Revelation 16:14, which will end in A.D. 1914 with the complete overthrow of Earth's present rulership, is already commenced." Then in 1897, reading from Studies in the Scripture, volume 4, page 621, "Our Lord, the appointed King, is now present since October 1874. Then in 1916, reading from The Time Is at Hand, page 2, "The Bible chronology herein presented shows that the six great 1,000-year days beginning with Adam are ended, and the great seventh day, the 1,000 years of Christ's reign, began in 1873. Then in 1917, quoting from Finnish Mystery, page 485, "In the year 1918, when God destroys the churches wholesale and the church members by the millions, it shall be that any escape shall come to the works of Russell." Then in 1918, reading from "Millions Now Living Will Never Die," page 89, "Therefore, we may confidently expect that 1925 will mark the return of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the faithful prophets of old, particularly those named by the apostles in Hebrews 11, to the condition of human perfection." Then in 1922, quoting from The Watchtower, dated 9/1/22, page 262, "The date 1925 is even more distinctly indicated by scriptures than 1914. Then moving on to 1923, reading from, again, The Watchtower, dated 4/1/23, on page 106, "Our thought is that 1925 is definitely settled in scripture. As to Noah, the Christian now has much more upon which to base his faith than Noah had upon which to base his faith in a coming deluge." Then in 1925, once again quoting from The Watchtower, dated 1/1/25, on page 3, "The year 1925 is here. With great expectations, Christians have looked forward to this year. Many have confidently expected that all members of the body of Christ will be changed to heavenly glory during this year. This may be accomplished. It may not be. In his own due time, God will accomplish his purposes concerning his people. Christians should not be so deeply concerned about what may transpire this year." And dating September 1925 from The Watchtower, page 262, "It is going to be expected that Satan will try to inject into the minds of the consecrated the thought that 1925 should see an end to the work." Dated 1926, The Watchtower, page 232, "Some anticipated that the work would end in 1925, but the Lord did not state so. The difficulty was that friends inflated their imaginations beyond reason, and when their imaginations burst asunder, they were inclined to throw away everything." So now they're trying to mop up their false predictions. Then dated 1929, in a work called Prophecy, page 65, "The scriptural proof is that the second presence of Jesus began in 1874. Then in 1931, in a work called Vindication, page 338, "There was a measure of disappointment on the part of Jehovah's faithful ones on earth concerning the years 1914, 1918, and 1925, which disappointment lasted for a long time, and they also learned to quit fixing dates." Then going to 1941 from The Watchtower, dated 9/15/41, page 288, "Receiving the gift, the marching children clasp it to them, not a toy or plaything for idle pleasure, but the Lord's instruments for most effective work in the remaining months before Armageddon." 1943, from a work called The Truth Shall Make You Free, page 285, "Man cannot, by airplane or rockets or other means, get up above the air envelope which is about our earthly globe in which man breathes." 1966, from a work called Everlasting Life and Freedom, on page 30, "1975, in early autumn, will be the end of the sixth 1,000-year day of man's existence. It would not be by mere chance or accident, but would be according to the loving purpose of Jehovah God for the reign of Jesus Christ to run parallel with the seventh millennium of man's existence. Then dated 1968 from their publication Awake, dated 10/6/68. True, there have been those in times past who predicted the end to the world, even announcing a specific date, yet nothing happened. The end did not come. They were guilty of false prophesying. Why? What was missing? Missing from such people were God's truths and the evidence that he was using and guiding them. That's their own words, bringing judgment upon their own false prophecies. Then in 1968, from the Watchtower, dated 8/15/68, page 494, the Battle of Armageddon will be over by autumn of 1975. It may involve only a difference of weeks or months, not years. This is from an article titled, Why Are You Looking Forward to 1975? So there's been within the Christian church false predictions of the Lord's return. There's been within the cults, like Jehovah's Witness, numerous false predictions. And all this has a tendency to begin to lull us to sleep and thinking, well, no one really knows, and so we have this long period of time. And it's interesting that this sort of activity has been happening really since the Bible was written. Because listen to the words of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. Verse 4 goes on to say, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So he says, in the last days, mockers are going to come and doubt the second coming of Christ. And part of the problem is the church has given people reason to make such false accusations, and so is the cults. But we need to be those that are ready at any moment. As Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 44, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him. The simple command of the Bible is that we are to be ready for the Lord's return now. I hope that is true of your life.